Be true to God's standards and God's principles. Find out what God's principles are, what God's standards are, and be true to them. Stand fast in the faith.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Every man has in him the need to prove his manliness. Every young man, every growing boy, every adult man, no matter what his status in life, has in him the need to prove his manliness. But how he chooses to do that is absolutely critical. Satan has certain perverted criteria for determining masculinity or manliness in our day and age. They're omnipresent. They're thrown at us in so many ways. Sex would be one of those. Drinking, involvement in the drug culture, involvement in the rock culture. The really masculine individuals, the really strong individuals, the really manly individuals are those we're taught by Satan and his adherents who are involved in those kinds of things. Sexual perversion, drinking, drugs, the rock culture, even a warped preoccupation with athletics or sports. Nothing inherently wrong with that, but there can be a warped preoccupation with it, a total focus on the physique and the concept of athletics. Satan has certain perverted criteria for manliness, for masculinity, that many individuals have bought in our culture, and they've bought those concepts to their own ruination and to the ruination on many sad occasions of whole families. God's standards of manhood are altogether different. And they're expressed, I believe, not exclusively, but in a very graphic way in this passage, which we're dealing with today, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. The Corinthians were men who were faced with theological and moral defection. In fact, their church was permeated with it. The whole book of 1 Corinthians deals with the theological and the moral defection that had crept into that body of believers, and of course those things were true of the unsaved culture all around them as well. The Corinthian men were faced with theological and moral defection. How could they reflect biblical manliness, biblical masculinity, biblical mature, masculine leadership in their home and in their churches in the face of that context? Paul says, here are a series of imperatives that will help you to understand how you can do this. He says, I want you to watch. That means be alert for spiritual danger. You want to be a man in your household, in your home? You want to be a man in this local church? Be alert for spiritual danger. Be the kind of man that's spiritually alert. And then he says, I want you to stand fast in the faith. That means be true to God's standards. Be true to God's standards. That's how you're a man in the world in which we live. Be true to God's standards and God's principles. Find out what God's principles are, what God's standards are, and be true to them. Stand fast in the faith. And then he says, quit you like men, be strong. That is, be a man. Take action. Be of strong character. It's the meaning of those words. And then he says, so that it's tempered and balanced perfectly, so that we don't become abrasive, unloving, insensitive men. He says, be kind and loving in all that you do. Verse 14, let all your things be done with charity, or literally in agape, in love. If we would be men in the truest sense, we must focus on God's standards and not on Satan's. Every one of us should be burdened to embrace and reflect the marks of wisdom in a godly man. I want you to notice with me four of those marks. First of all, Paul says, I want you to be a man of caution. Watch. Then he says, I want you to be a man of conviction. Stand fast in the faith. Then he says, I want you to be a man of courage. Quit you like men. Be strong. Literally, be made strong. Let God make you strong. Let God impart His strength to you. And then he says, I want you to be a man of compassion. Let all your things be done in love. Be a man of caution, a man of conviction. Be a man of courage. Be a man of compassion. Those are the marks of wisdom in a godly man. These are the things that I pray to God He'll make me in my home and in this local church. Now let's talk about them for a moment. First of all, Paul says, I want you to be a man of caution. He says, I want you to watch. What does it mean to watch? Very interesting word in the Greek New Testament. It's a present imperative. As I've said, all of them are present imperatives. Paul is not talking about momentary attitudes, but he's talking about continuing states. I want you always to be watching. Present imperative. And the Greek term means literally to stay awake. And it denotes much more than the mere absence of sleep. You can have your eyes wide open and still be lulled to sleep spiritually. He says, I want you to stay awake. And it denotes much more than the mere absence of sleep. It implies a determined effort at wakefulness. He's saying literally, and this is what the word means, be on the alert, keep zealous, watch over, contextually, over the church to those Corinthian men, over their families, the same to you and I as men in this local church. Keep zealous, watch over this church, over our families. It means to be vigilant. It's translated that way in one place in the New Testament, 1 Peter 5:8. It means to be vigilant. It means to give careful attention to determined efforts at wakefulness. Be spiritually alert is the idea. Now, what are the implications of that word biblically and then practically? You know, this is a word that is used with a relative frequency in the New Testament narrative, in the New Testament documents. And whenever it's used, it always has with it this idea of alertness. In several significant areas, maybe I could give you a few examples of how it's used in the Greek New Testament. And it'll give some practical insights as well as some biblical insights. For example, we're taught in the Bible, be alert to the imminency of Christ's coming. The Bible says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25, verse 13. Be alert to the imminency of Christ's coming. Wake up, be alert, Christ may come today. And when that is a part of the burden of your heart, when that's a part of the spiritual focus that you're conveying to your family and to the local church, it will have a powerful effect in your life. Did you know that a preoccupation, a biblical preoccupation and alertness with respect to the coming of Christ will have a wonderful effect in your life? It has a way of cleansing us, 1 John 3 and verse 3. It has a way of comforting us, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18. It has a way of compelling us or constraining us to be the servants of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, in the light of Christ's imminent rapture, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's a powerful thing, the promise of the any moment return of Jesus Christ. Many of us have forgotten it, but a spiritual father is in tune with that concept, and he brings it down into the minds and hearts of his children. Be alert to the imminency of Christ's coming. Be alert to the dangers of temptation. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. Watch and pray. And there's our word, watch. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Wake up. Be alert with respect to the issue of temptation and teach it to your children. Be alert to the dangers of false teachers and false teaching. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. Not sparing the flock, also of your own self shall men arise speaking perverse things. Therefore, watch. Same Greek word. Matthew chapter 20, or Acts chapter 20, verses 29 and 31. Be alert to the dangers of the apathetic spirit. The curse of our age is apathy. In modern Christendom, in fundamental Bible-believing churches, in separatist churches, in biblicist churches, apathy, lethargy, spectatoritis, allowing someone else to do the work. Refusing to become involved. Be alert to the dangers of the apathetic spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober-minded. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6. Be alert to the insidious tactics of Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. There's our word, watch. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Those are some very biblical but practical insights that relate to this concept of becoming spiritually alert. I've shared some verses there with you that perhaps will help you. But let's go a step further. Let's be as practical as we can. What does it mean for a father to be alert, to be watching, to be making a determined effort to be awake with respect to the spiritual well-being of his family? What does it mean on a very practical level? For a man to be spiritually alert or awake in his home suggests that he will constantly guard his home, his wife, and his family against spiritual dangers. And that implies a couple of very practical things. One, he is aware of what is spiritually dangerous. And two, he has a handle on the tools that will help him to combat those dangers, the tools that are in the Scripture. And the deepening of his relationship with God. It means several things to me very practically. I'd like to share them with you quickly. Some very practical insights that relate to us as fathers, if I'm going to be alert in my family. It means, number one, that I will learn to recognize false ideas and deceptive reasonings which could captivate my family members. I will learn to recognize false ideas and deceptive reasonings which could captivate my family members. And the only way to do that is to deepen my knowledge and grasp of the truth of God's Word. It's only as you develop your relationship to the truth that you learn how to detect what is error. And Paul says this is an absolutely critical issue. He says in Colossians 2 and verse 8, "Beware lest any man spoil you," literally make you his captive. Take you captive at spear point. That's exactly what the Greek word means. Take you captive at spear point. Beware lest any man spoil you, make you his captive. How? Through philosophy. That's false ideas and deceptive reasonings. Through philosophy and vain deceit. What is vain deceit? It's empty lies. Vain is empty. Deceit is lies. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, man's ideas, man's reasonings, as opposed to God's revelation, and vain deceit, because he says there's three things wrong with man's reasonings. Colossians 2 and verse 8. He says, number one, they're after the traditions of men, that is, they're humanistic. Then he says, they're after the rudiments of this world, that is, they're spiritistic. The very word rudiments, after the rudiments of this world, the Greek word is stoicheia. It means spirit beings which are attached to the planets and the stars. It was used for signs of the zodiac and the implements of astrology. Paul says that man's ideas, which stand in contrast to God's revelation, are always fed and energized by demonic spirits. One, it's humanistic, it's after the traditions of men. Two, it's spiritistic, it's after the rudiments, the spirit beings, literally, of this world. And then finally, it's atheistic, it's not after Christ. To reject Jesus Christ is to reject God. You cannot worship God apart from Jesus Christ. If it's not after Christ, it's the same as atheistic. It's humanistic, it's spiritistic, it's atheistic. So practically, what is the scripture saying to me as a father, to me as a pastor, as I'm to fulfill my function as a man of God? It says, one, I must learn to recognize false ideas and deceptive reasonings. Secondly, it means practically for my family and for this local church that we must learn to see God's potential for each family member. Fathers, that's your responsibility and it's mine. To see God's potential for each family member, to visualize what God can do with each child, and then do all that you can to protect and develop that potential. And this is not psychological pottage. This is what the Bible says. Moses' parents visualized his potential. They saw that he was a beautiful child. They saw that he was a noble child. They saw that he was a proper child. They saw that there was something significant in terms of the potential of that baby. They saw it. They visualized it. And then they risked their lives to protect it and to develop it. So the scripture says, by faith, Moses was hidden by his parents. Why? Because they saw. They visualized something in their son. They saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict or command. Hebrews 11, verse 23. That's the responsibility of every spiritual father, to see God's potential for each family member and then spend the whole of his life helping to develop it and protect it.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Hosea chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. They were filled. They were affluent. And then their heart was exalted. They were proud. And then they forgot God.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.